You're listening to Inside Public Procurement by Bonfire, a show celebrating the unique stories and heroic efforts of those on the front lines of public procurement. Each episode, we bring you the latest trends, tips, and real stories from procurement trailblazers like you, who work tirelessly to bring positive impact to the agencies and communities you serve. Together, let's elevate the field of public procurement to new heights. Now, pull up a chair and let's gather around the bonfire. Our show is about to begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Inside Public Procurement. My name is Tung La, and I am a client support agent, podcast editor, podcast host, podcast extraordinaire. That's not actually part of my resume, but it should be. And I am part of Bonfire, an e-procurement solution used by over 500 public agencies in North America. I'm joined here today by Marla Bossens, who has worked in the finance department for the District of North Cowichan since the year 2000. She became interested in procurement because she could see the opportunity for improving processes and providing better value to her community. She has earned her SCMP designation and has her public sector procurement diploma. Over the past 6 years, she has implemented a procurement policy, centralized and streamlined procedures, implemented Bonfire, and is responsible for meeting regulatory expectations and best practices placed on the public sector. Hello, Marla. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you.
Welcome. Your first podcast ever. How does it feel?
It feels good. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I am just excited that you're here. But of course, before we get into like the nitty gritty of things that we're talking about today, we bonded over this before the podcast and we both have dogs.
We do.
How is dog life treating you?
It's good. It's great. Yep. We have a 2-year-old Springer Spaniel who's very energetic, and this working from home works great for her.
Great. Is she going to make an appearance at some point in the podcast? Because we love when that happens on the show.
Yeah, I hope not. She has her spot out the couch looking out the window. So
okay.
She should be good.
All right. And if you had a number one piece of, this is turning into a dog podcast now. I'm sorry, everyone. But if you had a number one piece of advice for new dog owners, what would that be?
Oh, man. I don't know. Have fun. Have lots of treats ready. I don't know.
Have lots of treats. Have fun. Get ready for cuddles. All right. That's good. That's all good information. I also have my dog just sitting, Captain Meatball. That's his name. He's sitting on the bed behind me. Yes, we always get that reaction. Your dog's name is what? Yes, I'll say it again. It's Captain Meatball. And he is looking at me now because I said his name. And yeah, I guess pets during the pandemic is a, was it a pandemic dog that you got?
Just before.
So mine is definitely a COVID dog is what they call them, a COVID pet. Mm-hmm. And it's been such an invaluable thing to have around the house in these, you know, still dark times. So hopefully we're getting on the up and up, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Well, I somehow turned this into a dog podcast. So let's get back on track and talk more about you, Marla. I'm so curious about how you got into procurement.
Well, I've been working in our finance department for, seems like ages. I've been at North Cowichan for 21 years now, and I was doing accounts payable, and I could just really see a need and an opportunity for improvements in processes and how we were buying things and all of the new, well, not new now, but all the rules and accountabilities and expectations placed on us, and just saw an opportunity to grow my career and to provide better value to our taxpayers and how we buy our products.
Yeah, amazing. Now, did you know what procurement was before you got into the role? Or was it just like the opportunity kind of was there and you're like, what is that? I want to try what that is.
Yeah, I really did just grow into it. And yeah, it's a ever-changing profession. There's always lots of new things. Lots to learn. I've learned so much about different things that we've bought and projects, and yeah, it's great.
So you're a pro buyer now is what you're trying to say. You can buy anything.
Yeah. Well, I don't get too involved with the buying of products. I get more involved with our products and some of the bigger projects, but
amazing. Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. But let's start off with this first question here, which I find is super interesting because you're the first person that I've talked to that basically is a one-person department. Marla, you are the procurement department. How does that feel? What is the benefits and challenges of all that?
Yeah, we have a kind of a decentralized purchasing system. So each department is responsible for their own buying. But when it comes to the larger projects where trade agreements and that threshold comes in our policy, that's when I get involved. I guess the challenge, of course, is there's just not enough time in the day to get everything that you want done and to take on some of these new and exciting initiatives that are coming down the pipeline, like with social procurement and just everything. But the benefits have been is that I've got to grow with the process. When I started, North Cowichan didn't have a policy or procedures, and I got to work with, we hired a consultant and we got to work at implementing those and figuring it out. And I've really been able to grow and build our processes to what works for us.
Yeah, but of course it has to be quite challenging when you're just doing it alone, right? Like, how do you get guidance? I'm sure at this point you've probably made a lot of connections with peers and all of that. Is that what you leverage the most when you need help?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got great coworkers too that help with other things, like because I still do the accounts payable as well to help with other duties. And we rely on the project manager of each department to help with, you know, building the scope and stuff. But then, yeah, you just get it done.
Get it done. Great advice. Marla, is it something that you're looking to obviously grow the department at one day? I shouldn't say obviously, but is it something that you're looking to be more than just you? It must be pretty difficult if you go on vacation, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would love for the opportunities to get grown. It's just a matter of getting the support, you know, from the decision makers and to have the support for a position at North Cowichan. But we'll have to see how it goes.
Of course. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. You are not the ultimate decision maker. You answer to, you know, a higher power. And obviously that comes with struggles. And that's a common thing in public procurement is we are not always the ultimate decision maker. There's some rules that we have to follow. Is that particularly hard going at that alone?
Yeah, I'm not a manager. I'm a coordinator. So I report to our director of finance. But besides the fact that if in the end it's not my decisions to make, I'm just trying to be a positive influencer, advocate for best practices, and to make our procurement process as easy as possible for our internal customers, for our vendors, for doing business with us. Yeah. I still think even if you're not a manager and not that end decision maker, we can still make a positive impact for our organization.
Amazing. Let's talk about the best practices piece a little bit. We talked before that you're always looking for a way to constantly improve processes, just in general, but also work on those best practices. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I get sort of the stereotype of procurement is that we're kind of an administrative cog that slows the process down. And I really don't think it needs to be. I mean, I guess sometimes it happens, but you know, I don't really think it needs to be. I think that we can really work on improving our processes, working with the other departments to see for meeting their needs, what works, what doesn't, and just really learning from what you've done and improving the process. And I guess that does kind of help when it's only a one-person department, that if I try something and it doesn't work, you know what, let's do it different this time, or let's try this next time. And yeah, just constantly try to make it more efficient.
Right. And do you have a specific workflow to improve processes like that? Is it something that you kind of butt your head against a few times to see if one strategy works? And if you're like, maybe it's not working for me, I'm going to try this other way? Or how do you go about that?
You just kind of give it a try. I mean, we're constantly kind of learning, but just from my schooling process of earning my designation, I learned a ton from that thing. Oh, let's give that a try here. Or, you know, even you just... there's so many opportunities for professional development, and you learn ideas. And from what I found, most public procurement people are very open and willing to help and give advice. And yeah, just ask the question if you're not sure, or ask how somebody else is doing it. And yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I think it's really important just in general to have people who are open to feedback and open to giving advice to people. I guess it would make your job a lot easier in a sense when people are receptive to that type of like, hey, maybe we should change this part. And if they don't give you like extreme pushback and are acceptive of that, then that must be a great way to build morale on the team and build on those processes.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about something that I'm always curious about, because at Bonfire, we are an e-procurement platform. And we have many organizations, I think it's just the way of the future, of course, that you're moving towards e-procurement. instead of paper bids. Now, was that a challenge at your organization, or how do you feel about the move to paper bids to e-procurement?
Yeah, when we started, we did the old paper bid submissions coming in. We did implement Bonfire, which was just a great process. And coming down to the time thing too, it's just, it's all about kind of about the efficiency, and Bonfire has been great. Besides the accepting of e-bids, which, like, you know, which, like you mentioned, is just the way of the future and just the way it really should be. Just like the evaluation process and setting up the criteria, it's been great. It's just given us a really compliant, efficient way of running our processes now.
I would like to pick your brain a little bit this, because paper bids were before my time. I'd like to know, like, what really, I've always heard it takes a long time, but you want to walk me through it a little bit? Like, what made it take so long? And now that you're in e-procurement, what has it allowed you to do now that you have, I assume, more time to do other things?
Yeah, well, the bids that would come in, sometimes you get a lot of bids, submissions for a project. And if you have like 8 or 10 packages, and some of those big complicons, they are thick packages with a lot of paper. And so, you know, we used to get like the couriered packages in, and the couriers were all rushing in. You had to date stamp it all, make sure it came in on time, and photocopying all those for all your evaluators to look at. It was...
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So they give you one bid package and then you photocopy. Wow, that's a lot of paper.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. It's just been huge savings going to an e-platform.
That's awesome. And now that you have more freedom, I guess, to not, let's just say, waste time photocopying, doing the process of handling mm-hmm. paper bids, how does that free up your day in the way that, like, what can you work on now that you have that time?
Well, to me, I think there's a real opportunity for procurement to be more of a strategic process than necessarily just the tactical administration end of it. So we can work with the project managers really to build our scope better, to build our evaluation criteria, having the consensus meetings at the end of with the evaluations. It's just a way more streamlined, effective way to run a procurement.
Mm-hmm. It's more efficient, if you will.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it. Accountability mm-hmm. versus efficiency. You like that segue? Marla knows the questions coming up right now. But I do want to talk about this, because you are passionate about this topic. Accountability versus efficiency. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just all about balance, and especially in a one-person department that doesn't have a lot of capacity, that's what it's all about. Because in the end, we are accountable to the public. We do have regulatory, like, trade agreements that we have to be accountable to our policies, to our mayor and council, to our taxpayers. But we also need to be efficient, and it needs to be right-sized for your organization. And so I just think, you know, it just, the balance of accountability and efficiency of running fair, open, transparent processes and providing that best value to our community.
In terms of accountability, how do you, of course, there are rules, of course, that you have to follow to become accountable, but how do you approach that to show yourself as accountable, as show yourself as transparent?
Well, Bonfire sure helps with that as well. All of our projects are out there posted publicly. We post the results of every procurement that we do, who it's awarded to, the values. We offer debriefs to unsuccessful bidders.
Oh, I'd like to expand on that a little bit, the debriefs. How do you go about that? So a bidder who's unsuccessful, what is the process of reaching out, and what type of guidance do you give to those who are unsuccessful?
Yeah, I guess the goal of the debrief is for them to learn information to improve their bids for next time, to give them better opportunities. Many people have over the phone or in-person debriefs. We've switched to doing written debriefs. We use some of the screenshots in our Bonfire portal, and we provide them sort of a summary of their average points that they have gotten, some summary of our evaluators' comments. Yeah, and just how they scored overall in their submission.
Okay, all right. And in terms of the efficiency piece of this, accountability versus efficiency, you say, like, of course, you want to run as an efficient bid as possible. What does that mean to you? How do you become more efficient? If we want to give some advice to the people listening at home, or just like best practices and tips, what are your thoughts on the best way to run an efficient bid?
I guess just streamlining the process. I mean, I guess the efficiency comes in more about time, right? Just because that's where we have our issues of not having a lot of time for these. So we have sort of forms set up so that managers can fill in the information. So I have what I need to quickly draft our RFP documents, and just sort of having it as, you know, we have sort of standard evaluation criteria that you can take and put apply to different projects. So it doesn't take too much time of building these documents to post.
Okay, all right. Now, you have a commonly held belief that you disagree with. I'm going to let you introduce it. And because I am curious on how you feel about this. Actually, I know how you feel about this, but I'd like you to tell the people at home.
Yeah, well, when I heard your question of if there's a common belief that I don't agree with, one is doing things the way they've always been done. I've never been an advocate for that. I like to change things up and to change processes. And that's one thing that I've, no matter what job I've been doing, I love to you know, just to try to make efficiencies and change, make improvements. And I guess that kind of ties into my belief of just constantly trying to improve things. And so while you have to respect and understand the processes and why they've been done certain ways and take that from it, but I still think that there's lots of opportunity for changing. And procurement in the public sector is always a constantly changing thing. And we're always evolving and adding new things that for best practices. And I think if you're stuck doing it the way you've always been done it, you're missing out on some of these new opportunities of really kind of keeping up with the best practices in the industry.
Right. So how do you introduce something new to people who are stuck doing the way things have always been done, I guess? Like, you know, you come into things and you're like, hey, I'm Marla, I want to change this. Mm-hmm. And what if they say, let's say, I'm not sure, Marla, how do you go about that conversation?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I guess it depends of how big or how small the change is. Sometimes if it's a small one, and, you know, I am just the one person department, I can just make those small changes of how I'm doing something. But, you know, if it's a bigger thing where I'm going to have to go and speak with my manager, then I've got to give buy-in and I've got to show them the benefits and who else it would impact and what the value would be for making those changes and the time that it would take. And
right.
Yeah, fingers crossed I get some buy-in.
You do your homework before you present it to the bosses, I guess.
Exactly.
Right. And in terms of, like, do you do continued learning as well? Like, are you going out and taking, let's say, workshops or seminars or going to summits, for example, so that you're constantly evolving, just like the procurement occupation? Because you're saying that you're always looking to improve and move the needle forward. So does that involve this idea of continued learning?
Absolutely. You know, there's tons of opportunity for procurement learning. I have my supply chain management professional designation, and part of that is professional development time that you have to take as well to maintain that. So yeah, I'm always looking for opportunities to learn and see what's changing out there.
I'm pretty new to the designation stuff when it comes to procurement, but I've heard there's a many out there. There's tons of different acronyms you can put on your resume. And Marla, what is the next designation you're gunning for here?
Oh, I don't know. I think
world's your oyster. You can do anything you want.
Right?
Okay, well, I'll get back to you on that. Maybe you'll have, like, I don't know. Is there one course that, you know, you just get all of them at once?
I don't think so. It takes a while, but it's worth it. Yeah, I've learned so much from the process.
Amazing. Amazing. And you've had the supply chain management one for a while, I assume?
No, I got my supply chain management professional designation in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty fresh.
It was about a 3-year program, but yeah.
Wow, that's a lot longer than I thought it was. I'm like, maybe a weekend or something? Clearly, I don't know anything about the designation. Cool. All right. And you learned a lot from this designation. I'm really curious about this, too, because this is all like a learning opportunity for me. And I'm sure people at home who are new to procurement are also curious, like, how do we evolve our own career and get the designations that fit our, like, passions and things like that? So supply chain for yourself, mm-hmm. I assume, is something you are really passionate about and you want to pursue further.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I assume you got a lot out of it when you brought it back into the workplace as well.
I did, yeah. And I think I got great value from it. And I hope I got to share that with North Cowichan. Yeah, we'll see. I think there's always still lots to do and implement. And once I get more time, watch out.
Watch out, world. Okay. Okay, the last thing, maybe it bleeds into this idea of specializations and designations and all of that stuff. But I think when we work with our colleagues, we don't exactly know, because like everybody comes from everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And when they get hired into a workplace, they get hired for a very specific role. Maybe they were asked this into the interview process and then it's forgotten. And the idea that everybody has a special skill set. And for the question, what is a resource or tool or channel people aren't using correctly or to its mm-hmm. fullest? And your answer was that you think that organizations might not be using their own people, the people that they work with, because they might be having special skills that we're not leveraging.
Absolutely. And maybe that's because that's my perception from not being a manager and kind of, there's so many people out there who sort of have gone and learnt new skills or have seen opportunity, so they've taken courses or whatever it may be, that I don't think managers are necessarily utilizing their skills or their expertise the way that they could be. Because I think a lot of us have great ideas, and like how you asked, how do you bring that idea forward? Well, you know what, sometimes we don't get the buy-in from our managers, but we still have lots of great ideas that could really benefit our organizations or our processes to make them more efficient.
Right. So how do we find a way to surface the skills of our colleagues to management to make them aware that like, whoa, Marla has this awesome designation. How do we utilize that? Maybe you don't work as an example because they already use you to the fullest, I feel, being a one-person department. But let's just say me, like if I had a specialty in a specific aspect in procurement, but I'm not telling anyone because nobody asked, like how do we surface that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. And I think, because some of my ideas that I would really love to implement haven't gone anywhere, but, you know, I just try to stay positive. I keep bringing it up and still just kind of keep researching and finding the benefits and trying to pitch it to those who could make the decisions on them. But yeah, just keep trying.
Keep trying. And I guess it might come down to if we really want to get to know our colleagues on a professional level, then we should be asking these questions of like, where do you want to go in the future? Where is your career head going? And what skill sets do you currently have that you want to work on? And maybe with those types of conversations, that it would make everybody more aware of what the team has to offer as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, Marla, before we end today, I want to ask you, what is, at the beginning of the call, I asked you what was your number one piece of advice for new dog owners. Now, we're not going to ask you that again. We're going to ask you, what is your number one piece of advice for people starting their career in public procurement?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it, but I really think that people should apply that constantly improving process to themselves as well. Really trying to continue to grow and learn as a procurement professional, to be a positive influencer, whether you're a decision maker or not. And yeah.
Amazing. I love that you're so positive all the time, Marla. This is great. How do we get to become as positive as you, Marla? What do you do? Like yoga or eat healthy? How do I be bubbly like yourself?
Oh, I don't know. We have to go play with Captain Meatball.
That's true. Okay, I'll do that. I'll wake him up after this podcast and we'll go frolic a little bit. Marla, this was such a lovely conversation. I hope you had fun on this podcast episode here today. Now, for the people who want to connect with you, how do they get in touch?
Mm-hmm. I am on LinkedIn. I'm sort of a self-proclaimed procurement nerd, happy to talk procurement anytime. So yeah, reach out to me if you want to chat procurement. I'm happy to do so.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much again, Marla, for joining me here today. And for everyone else, we'll see you on another episode of Inside Public Procurement.
Procurement professionals like you are the lifeblood of public sector organizations, dedicated not only to supporting your agency, but the constituents you serve. That's why we've created the Inside Public Procurement podcast here at Bonfire, a unique place where you can share stories and discuss the topics that matter to public procurement pros. From digitization and the future of public procurement to ensuring a fair and transparent process, we're all about finding new strategies to help your agency succeed. Join us at gobonfire.com to learn more. You've been listening to Inside Public Procurement by Bonfire. If you like what you've heard, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you have an idea for an episode or want to come on as a guest, email us at hello@gobonfire.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.